This is KCBX, Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. The San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce isn't actually in the business of producing or preparing or providing food, but many of their members are. But there's a link, I promise. Consider this from their CEO, Jim D'Antona.
For more than 112 years, the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce has been dedicated to serving our membership through work to enhance the economic prosperity and community well-being of San Luis Obispo County. Our focus is on creating the best possible environment for people to live, raise their family, and pursue their passions in the place they love. Our chamber is the oldest and largest voluntary organization in San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties.
We all know that food production is a large part of the economic prosperity and community well-being of the Central Coast. One person invited me to pursue her passion for food, and that was former CEO of the Chamber of Commerce, Ermina Karim, who finished her tenure in the summer of 2018. I knew Ermina must be a great cook, and her story was one I wanted to hear and share. How did a family get from Bangladesh to Illinois, and their daughter end up as CEO of the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce? In this area that doesn't quite have the diversity that many associate with California, what happens when food is involved? And how did her time at the chamber help a Bengali girl from Illinois fit in? So in her kitchen, our conversation spanned from Bengali spices in Illinois, to diversity and where to find it, to the power of sharing food, as I was playing with food with Ermina Karim.
Ermina Karim, I'm the former CEO of the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce. We are cooking two traditional Bengali dishes. One is dal, or lentils, and then kind of a eggplant curry dish. So my family, both my parents, are from Bangladesh, which is next door to India, former part of India. This is the cooking that I grew up on. I don't actually cook it myself, so you're in for a treat, but it feels like home for me. So I thought it'd be fun to cook a little bit Bengali food. We've got the long kind of Chinese eggplants that are cubed and they've been soaking a little water. I'm going to drain them out right now. And then I've got some red lentils that have been soaking that kind of softens them up for cooking. Okay, so these are the base of most Indian and Bengali cooking. If you have these, you're set. So I've got some coriander. We'll have some fresh later to finish, you know, cilantro. We've got some fried cumin powder. We actually grind it and fry it ourselves. Turmeric, red chili flakes, some red pepper, bachfuran, which is a 5-spice mix. So you can see and smell what this smells like.
Oh, that's nice. It smells like walking into an Indian grocery store.
Right, all in one little jar. And so we'll have that in the eggplant. And then I made a little garlic paste. Ginger, some jalapeno. That's pretty much it. I've got some chopped onions. So we'll just lay it on the base, get the things moving, and then we can keep the conversation rolling.
Okay.
Does that
okay.
sound good?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. So I'm going to drain these right now first. Generally, there's a lot of similar spices used, but then how they come together or the additional details around really reflects the colonialism, you know, kind of who settled where. And the further south you go, the hotter the food gets, kind of typical of, actually, I mean, I think that's typical around the world. The hotter the place, the hotter the food. I mean, it's a lot of spice, but people correlate spice and heat. And I would say that's not what you get in Bengali food. It's typically not very hot food, but very flavorful, I think. Let's put the dal on.
I noticed that you don't have what a lot of people from the subcontinent has, and that's the pressure cooker or the new...
Oh, I do have a pressure cooker because my mom insists on cooking with it, but I don't know how to cook with it, so I don't.
They
terrify me.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah, they terrify me. So
I think they're going to explode. That's all I think. My mom used it when I was a kid.
Exactly.
And I just think that's going to blow up.
There must be a whole generation of us that are terrified by it because that's exactly right. That's what I think as well.
Where's your mom coming from when she comes here?
Illinois.
So did you grow up in Illinois?
I did. Born and raised in Rockford, Illinois. They came because my father was coming to study and do his PhD. He was a Rhodes Scholar at a University of Wisconsin-Madison in the mid-60s. And my parents had been married already in Bangladesh, living there. They had this opportunity. And, you know, at that time, there was a lot of turmoil in Bangladesh. It wasn't formed yet as a country. They kind of separated Hindus and Muslims. British did this, actually. And so my parents were in East Pakistan, but the power was in West Pakistan. There was a lot of turmoil. They did not share a language. They didn't share any common borders. And culturally, they were distinct. During this backdrop of turmoil, a lot of the educated class it was a brain drain and kind of came abroad for safety. And ultimately, there was, you know, civil war and Bangladesh was formed in 1971. But this was the mid-60s. Many people were being arrested, you know, if they were intellectuals or if they were not happy with the way the government was going. It was a difficult time. Okay, so what's happening here is I'm going to get some onions going. Onions are the base of all food in general, but particularly in India. Get a little onion cooking. So all I did is slice one small onion, fried in some oil here. And what's ironic about that is I don't actually like onions at all. If I was in out and about, I ask for everything to be without onion. I also love what we call is shura, which is the sauce of all foods in Indian food. Like if you have chicken with shura, it's the sauce that the chicken's sitting in. And typically the classic Bengali chicken shura, it is all onions that have broken down, and it's the most, plus spices, of course, which is such an amazing flavor to me.
So you're adding the spices in, and that's one of the things I've noticed about Indian food is that you fry the spices as well.
Exactly, as you're cooking. And some of these spices, as I mentioned, I think with the cumin, it was fried in advance as part of how it's ground and cooked. And then you typically are frying it to bring out the flavors along the way. So cook this for just a few minutes. And then we will be adding all the other yummy bits.
What was it like growing up in Illinois?
Well, my name wasn't Melissa or Jennifer, and I didn't look like anybody else for sure. You know, I obviously didn't know anything different. So I was born and raised in a town called Rockford, Illinois, which now has very ethnically diverse town. When I was growing up, there was kind of almost equally African-American and Caucasian population.
Okay.
When I was at school, I was definitely the only brown kid. We did have some family friends that lived there. They were all Pakistani. There were no kids in my school that looked like me. I think for Caucasian people, they saw me as very similar to them, and I'm not certain what that was based on. For my African-American friends, I was not Caucasian. And it was interesting because I'm not an extrovert, but I think that it did shape who I am as a person because, like, I was friends with everybody. And you kind of had to figure that out, you know, as you were different from everybody else. But everybody was different at some level. I always felt really at home there. So I'm adding to the dal that's boiling now, cumin, coriander, red pepper, salt, and turmeric.
It's great. It's all pre-measured like a cooking show, like Hermina's cooking show.
There you go.
And you're using red lentils.
Exactly.
So they don't take all day.
They will not. And they've soaked, so they should take even less. I need to add ginger, which is my garlic, which is right here. So as I mentioned, I kind of made a garlic paste in advance, mm-hmm. and that goes in really nicely with this. This goes well with some tomato paste, but I didn't have any tomato paste. So I'm going to add a little tomato nonetheless. We'll see how this works out. All right, I think we are good. Let this boil. So San Luis Obispo always recognizes what a great place to live here. Where I was raised, it had been a wealthy town much earlier. By the time I was growing up there, the manufacturing had died and it was not a great place to live. In fact, it was last week on one of those worst places to live. It's the worst place to live in Illinois, according to the rankings. You know, you read those things and you think, gosh, that wasn't my perception of it. You grew up in a small town, super different than this kind of lifestyle, but, you know, you make community wherever you go. And so there were six families that were from Pakistan and our family. That little group, we would socialize every weekend. And it always felt like we had this amazing tight-knit community. All right, now I got to focus on getting the spices in.
Okay.
Add a little turmeric. So this is for the eggplant. My family traveled a lot, so I feel very connected to Bangladesh. We grew up going every other summer for usually about 3 months, you know, when school would get out, and be back by Labor Day weekend. And so that had a big impact on me. So it wasn't just the six families that I was spending time with in Illinois. It was because I also had the opportunity to really fall into the culture where I was from. You know, this is the 70s and the 80s, long before there was the internet.
You're putting in the jalapeno whole.
I am. It's just for smell in this case. Okay. And the same thing is going to happen over here. I'm going to add it in there. And let's just see. Did I get everything in? All right. We're waiting for the water to boil, which is about to do the second. And I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to turn it down. And then we'll just keep our eye on that. It's about 20 minutes of cooking. And then let's check on the dal. So that's nicely breaking down. Hopefully I put enough spice. And if I didn't, your listeners won't be able to see your face. Many Indian families eat Indian food every day.
And did you?
So no, we did not. Like maybe twice a week, but not every day at all. My mom cooked all kinds of food. You know, they were immigrants, so they didn't eat certain things. Like when I go out with friends and I hear some of their stories about what they grew up eating, like these crazy casserole things and things wrapped in things and Jell-O with stuff in it, like we didn't have any of that. But we had really good food. My mom cooked great food, but she would make whatever was on point, you know, at that time, the 70s and 80s. But a lot of Bengali food too. All right, so that's on its way. I'm gonna need a little salt. Put one of these in now.
So you're putting a slit in the jalapeno?
Yeah, I'm gonna put it in, but I'm not gonna empty it. I'm gonna add a little bit more water and keep that cooking. Do you like your dal thicker or lighter?
I've had it both ways. I prefer the traditional way.
Which is, what do you think that is?
Whatever the person.
Oh, okay. I'm like, but yeah. Both are traditional. Sometimes people will blend this, but I'm gonna leave it like it is.
Okay.
Sure. I'm gonna make a little rice. I don't know if I'm gonna make too much. Okay. So this is just a small vegetarian meal. Bengalis are not vegetarian. A typical Bengali meal is dal, bhat, which is rice, and fish, a simple fish. But that's the most common food. You know, you brought up a conversation earlier on diversity here, and I think, you know, we were on that piece that this area is much less diverse. And yet, Sunday, we were at Shalimar, and I was talking to the family there, and there's another Indian restaurant coming into where their former location was. You know, we were talking about the Taj Palace, and that family has had that restaurant successfully for a couple decades. And so on the surface, you don't see a lot. And then once my mom came here and she started finding some Indian friends, you know, you start to see there is community. There's all kinds of communities, not as visible socially in many settings, the small number as you started out with. But I think there is more than meets the eye, though. You know, I don't know what the opportunities are to keep celebrating that and bringing it forward. I mostly like to do the cooking. Okay. My husband helps. We both enjoy cooking. And so I think for both of us, cooking is an expression of love. I think he loves how much I love to cook. Because it's a form of relaxation, he knows that, like, okay, his form of relaxation, he likes vacuuming. I mean, he's got weird things.
You gotta find a
partner who can do that. Yeah, exactly. You know, so we balance each other out. That's nice.
Okay, so it's steamed a little bit.
Yep. We're gonna eventually boil off all this water because you don't want to have any of the water.
Okay.
It's cooking down.
The skin goes from purple to brown.
Yep. And it just gets more beautiful, in my opinion. Although these Chinese eggplants are just so perfect on the outside, there's a beautiful skin. So the dal is pretty much done. Then all we'll do to finish this off is what's called bagar. You fry onions in either butter or we have ghee. And I'm gonna add a little ginger to it. And you fry that and you top and finish the dal with that. So that's all it is. So you can see dal is so simple, I haven't had to do anything. Onions in here. I think that when people connect over food, they're able to find more commonality. And you see them differently. That kind of connection of how you see people over food, it changes the relationship. Okay, I gotta make some amendments here because this one needs a little bit more flavor. So I have never made this, and I took a recipe from my mother that is, well, you can see it. I'm quite certain she forgot her spice. Okay. That's the way she is. In fact, I called earlier today, I'm like, does it need this? Oh, yeah, you can add that. Okay, it feels like that's probably needed. Right, we're done here. So we'll have to fix it, but I don't really know how to fix it, so I'm figuring it out. I'm gonna add some cumin. I am putting straight in my fried onions in the ghee and my fried ginger. and I am stirring that into the dal, which is nice and thick, and that will finish the dal. Okay, so is everything off here? It is. So we've got rice that will be ready in a
And do you know there's an Indian mini mart in Santa Barbara?
The one that's in the neighborhood?
Yes.
We have been to it. It's pretty random, that place, which I love. It's so classically Indian there because it's like on the corner, on a random street. I love it. All right, I think that's done. I think this is going to be done. I'm gonna let that cook down just a little further. Get some flavor in there. Can I pour you something to drink?
Sure.
Would you like water, bubbles? There's probably beer in the fridge.
Bubbles in my water would be fantastic.
Perfect.
Oh, you meant those types of bubbles. Fantastic.
Right?
I was thinking like sparkling water.
But... Oh, I have that too.
But you're like, this is more exciting.
No. It's already, 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Cheers.
Cheers. Do you think champagne goes with Indian food?
I do. I think champagne is one of the best food wines, period. I'm going to fry a little Bhajan separately.
See, you know what you're doing. You know that something's missing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the important thing.
Yeah, the flavor's not quite right, but I don't know what it is. Okay, now let's add a little bit of ginger. I'm just going to add a small amount of everything. That and some Bhajan. I love cilantro, and I think that it makes everything better. So we're just picking off some leaves, and I'll chop it, and we'll have a little fresh cilantro for all of this food. Incredible. Are you okay with me putting a dal right on the rice?
Yes. Do it how you think it should be done.
Okay.
I want to experience how a true Bengali would eat this food.
A true Bengali eats with their hands.
Yes.
Do you know how to eat with your hands?
No, I do not.
Okay. You want to grab a seat? Do you want some lemon? I'm going to place it on your plate okay.
So what do we have here again?
Well, we've got basmati rice with some mushroom dal, which is the red dal, and some cilantro on top, and an eggplant curry dish, a little tomato relish, and some champagne.
Great.
The traditional food.
Is it Bengali champagne?
How did you know?
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to try this dal. It looks really good. I love how the pinkish red dal turns bright yellow. It's good. Good flavors. Very good flavors. And I like the texture. And here's the eggplant. It's good. I don't know why you'd say it had a few problems. It tastes fine.
It's not quite right. I'm not certain what's not right about it. I'm not going to kill you. It won't kill you.
It won't kill me. I think it's delicious. It tastes good with the chutney. But the chutney is basically...
Tomato.
A tomato relish.
Yeah. You know, I want to go back to the question you asked me before that I didn't answer, which was about the meaning of the chamber to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had 10 years of an experience that is unlike any that I'd ever had. It's such a phenomenal organization because it's one place, it's a microcosm of this community. It's a venue, it's a space, it's a community that allows people's ideas to flourish and to learn from one another. And there's a lot of diverse thinking within the organization as a whole, kind of a welcoming, connective space. And the chamber for me, when I started working there, is what made me feel like part of this community. I felt very out of place when I moved here. And those 10 years in that work has just changed my perspective on what people are able to do when they work together. So back to food. When I first became the CEO, that annual dinner, I decided the day of I was going to wear a sari, which is traditional Indian clothing. I wasn't certain how that was going to be received in this community because you don't see a lot of people wearing their own cultural clothing. And so I remember thinking, gosh, I'm going to be sending a message that this is like, here I am, here's my whole self, you know. And up until that point, thinking there's probably a look for the CEO or a behavior for the CEO. There's a set of behaviors that I need to adopt once I became in that role. And my husband always said, oh, just be yourself. You know, that's why you're in the job. And so bringing it back to food, it really ended up being that way because when you are creating, we are all creating the culture and the community. And so you bring forward the things you love to who you are, maybe some of the parts of you that you don't show every day, but you want to bring forward. You bring it through your food and the way you connect and you create safe spaces. And so I will say that that's a lot of what I got out of being in this community at that chamber.
Thank you, Ermina, for forming a community with me in your kitchen and sharing who you are with your delicious Bengali food. For all you listening out there, share some food with others, find new commonalities, and feel your relationships change. That's the power of playing with food. This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food.